Now let's just jump to like the market didn't slow down, right, guys? I mean, when we talk about essential services, our jobs, we didn't get any reprieve. There was no, hey, let's put a pause. And I say that tongue in cheek with a lot of sympathy to those that have been impacted, the hospitality industry, the restaurant industry, all the travel industry, like they are feeling the pinch of it. And I'd rather be in this seat, but there was no gap. It was ramp up, ramp up, ramp up because people need supplies. It's been a little bit disheartening and frustrating. I think this is a shared common statement to see an overreaction, if you will, from our country. And I'm talking about the citizens, not even necessarily the leaders, that stockpiling and even hoarding. And I say disappointing only or disheartening only because, you know, when we buy 20 cases of toilet paper for two people at home, that comes at the cost of two people at another home that don't have toilet paper or water or. And we're better than that, right? We are better than that. We've all got to do our part to be better at that, especially in a time of need right now. But that reaction has caused a market condition that is simply unprecedented. You know, we've gone through the last 2 years of an unpredictable market where we have too many carriers, we have not enough carriers, we have too much freight, we don't have enough freight. And now all of a sudden, with no prediction at all, this thing's been flipped on its head and we have way more demand than we have supply. And my hat goes off to our team members that are working feverishly to make it happen, but even more so, the carriers that are working feverishly to get products to people. And if there is a group of humanity that we should all be rallying around right now, I would say that it's both medical staff nationwide and truck drivers nationwide. Those are the heartbeat of America right now, the ones that are working hard to solve the problems. And we see ourselves as a support service to both of those critical elements to make sure that we get the needs, the goods, the services to those folks so that they can continue to do their jobs and do them as efficiently as possible. So from a market standpoint, what else are you feeling? Ryan, let's start in your world from a carrier services world. Ryan's group is handling everything from factoring service, make sure that we're getting funds to carriers so that they can be doing their job, all the way to fuel discounts, make that as seamless as possible, tire discounts, maintenance, and we try and make that what is otherwise typically a world, we try and make it a point of painlessness, right? What are you seeing and experiencing?
Yeah, a lot of what you just said. Our carriers are without question running very hard right now. The FMCSA has even gone to lengths of lifting hours of service regulations in certain cases, in certain instances, and the selfless work that our drivers and carriers are putting out into the marketplace right now is incredibly impressive. I think from our perspective, our priority of keeping our employees safe carries over to our drivers as well. We feel that we work with some of the absolute best vendors in the industry. We work with top-notch truck stops who we're meeting with multiple times a week to understand their contingency plans. We're very aware of what they're doing to keep their truck stops clean and safe. We have some agreements in place where our drivers are able to get call-ahead parking in the event that they need to at some of these truck stops to keep them working. We have open restaurants, which is really a big deal right now. These drivers are over the road, and where they're used to pulling through and getting a hot meal, a lot of these restaurants have closed or shut down, and obviously it's not possible for a truck driver to take his truck through a drive-in at a fast food restaurant. And a lot of these guys are just having a difficult time finding meals where 2, 3, 4 weeks ago it wasn't an issue. So keeping these guys in line with the appropriate lanes, making sure they know where to stop at safe places that has great food, where they know that they'll be protected and safe has been a big priority of ours. And then Jason, you spoke to it a little bit. I think the entire country right now has a heightened awareness towards the importance of cash flow in their businesses. And certainly our truck drivers are experiencing the same thing. And so whether it's through quick pay options or through factoring agreements, we have been able to put contingencies in place. We speak to the earthquake that hit last week, and a lot of financial institutions don't have the system redundancy or the staffing redundancy in place to be able to survive that. And yet we were still able to fund our carriers and get them the money they needed that day in order to keep things moving. So our drivers are so good at what they do. We want them to just be able to focus on the road, focus on being safe, continue to do the great things that they need for our country. Meanwhile, we're able to provide a lot of the back end services and needs to keep their minds at ease and running their fleets.
Very well said. Jer, your world encompasses our brokerage business units, which would be everything from small parcel to both dry and cold chain LTL, and then of course, full truckload. What would you add to that, given your view of the group that you oversee?
Yeah, I think the overarching theme, kind of tucking in all three groups, right? Obviously, a huge influx of volume, right? Over the last 3-4 weeks, kind of right when the COVID thing started to gain some attention. You know, I'm talking growth even over previous 8 weeks, right? If I segment the year kind of pre-COVID, volume growth, healthy double-digit growth over, say, the first 8 weeks of the year to the last 4 weeks of the year, right? So just a huge shot up in demand. And a lot of that stemming from food and beverage. So a lot of that growth that I mentioned is being spurred by the food and beverage industry. You obviously have some clients in your portfolio who are doing basically non-essential goods, and we've seen a little degradation there. But yeah, I mean, it's a good time to have a nice portfolio of food and beverage clients. You know, parceling through some other data, you know, consumer packaged goods are up and huge spike even the weekend of 314 to 315, right? As this things continue to gain momentum, those volumes have only increased. Then on the carrier side, kind of more rise world, what we're seeing too, obviously rates have gone up, right? If I look at March over February, it's been high single digits for the carrier side. Obviously, as you mentioned, Jace, just a supply issue and demand side. And what I think is interesting is then speaking with carriers and even clients, some of the collateral things that have come out now, right? So you have shippers who they themselves have their own internal scenarios, right, with workforce. So it's taking a little bit longer for people to get loaded. It's taking a little bit longer for people to get unloaded. So clients that happen to be flexible and come to the table if there's layover detention. I will say maybe the only positive is with most of the world now remote, there's been an ease in traffic. So carriers are getting from point A to point B a heck of a lot faster now. So there is some positivity. I hate to use that word, scenario, but there is some positivity because now transit times are cut in half. So these guys that are being stuck in places or being held up in traffic, that's not the case. But again, some of the subset of that too is you're also seeing, I talked about the generalization of just rate increases for carriers, but it's also getting more challenging to deliver to some of these states that have taken a more aggressive approach, right? I'm talking about California, I'm talking about New York, Pennsylvania, Ohio, more of the mandated shelter in place scenarios. It's gotten increasingly expensive. And I'm not talking like a week, I'm talking like by an hour, by a day, as the government releases more mandates and more information, it's getting challenging to deliver to some of these other places. So, you know, overall, a lot of tightness, but in some pockets, it's vastly different. And it's going to be interesting too. One last thing I would add too is now we have clients coming forward saying, "Hey, now we're having issues warehousing all of our products."
Yeah,
because they're pumping it out, and no one is built for this necessarily. This is not something you can plan. You can't plan space. You can't plan warehousing. This isn't planned growth that they're experiencing. So now they're churning as quickly as they can, but now they can't store the product. So they have another logistical challenge of saying, okay, where do I put all the products that we're manufacturing until we can get them out? So it's just interesting to see the other fallout. I mean, we're obviously focused on point A to point B transportation, but helping clients, which I'm extremely proud of the team, we're reaching out to other partners, other vendors, helping clients come up with solutions that aren't necessarily in our wheelhouse. And again, if there's been one theme at the whole conversation is let's be solution oriented. And that goes to serving our clients in needs that aren't necessarily something that's in our wheelhouse.
Yeah. Well, and you mentioned, you know, the dilution of congestion, which also becomes a major safety enhancement and a safety enhancement, if you will, in a needed hour when I support the FMCSA and their short-term loosening of hours of service for the transit of essential goods. But that also could turn into a safety concern if these drivers are running longer hours without rest breaks, and some of that potential for risk can be offset or alleviated by less congestion on the roadways and fewer people out there on the highways, so that these drivers can get product to location. So, great comments. Also, congratulations to you. I know we were all excited earlier in this week, we moved some of our first COVID test kits, and we were super excited to be a part of the solution in that role, getting these test kits to market where they need to be. And so it's neat to see, you know, we move everyday products that are essential products that are the norm for us, but it's always cool to see something that's as critical as that come across our board and to be part of the puzzle piece in the solution and getting that to market. Sean, in addition to the brokerage services that Jer has referenced, you also have ownership for our agent network. We've got more than 100 agents nationwide that represent small to large offices, and they represent all service sets, LTL, parcel, FTL, as well as the supply chain management or outsource managed traffic. What would you add to that's been offered by Ryan and Jer?
Yeah, so similar to some of our in-house groups, I mean, different commodities and different customers are seeing spikes while others see a little bit of a degradation just based on commodities and locations of where they're shipping to and from. One thing that I have been impressed by in the conversations we've had with customers or that I'm hearing through our national sales team is just our customers' accountability and ownership of making sure that they're not just protecting themselves and protecting their business, but taking extreme lengths to protect our carriers as well. I mean, we had a customer just release a notice within this past week of all of the extensive measures that they're taking to prevent the carriers and making sure that there's no direct contact when handing BOLs or PODs off from a carrier to a warehouse. Or a shipper or receiver, some of their check-in policies with security guards. So it's incredibly impressive to see everybody stepping up across the board, not just to protect themselves and to protect their own house, but to extend that protection amongst all the critical elements throughout the supply chain. And our national sales team has been heavily involved with both our agent offices as well as our customers. Still performing regular business reviews while they can't make it out there in person due to the travel restrictions, both internally here at England Logistics as well as throughout the country. They're talking to clients about short-term needs, identifying areas that we can help them out in specific regions or specific pockets, or moving commodities that still need to be moved that aren't necessarily deemed essential. And we're still keeping in mind the long-term goal, right? We can't just pause all of the long-term plans, all of long-term strategies, and shift all of the focus to short-term. These guys have done a great job in working with our customers and our carriers to keep that long-term vision in mind while we're identifying and being highly reactive and providing solutions to these short-term needs that we all know will hopefully dissipate here in the next few weeks. Some of the stuff that we're also doing is reallocating internal resources. So Our supply chain group is heavily concentrated in the automotive world. They unfortunately have seen a little bit of a slowdown in production and some of their warehousing and some of their distribution centers. And so just recently we've taken three of our supply chain internal folks that were on those accounts. And just due to the slowdown, the temporary slowdown, we've shifted them to a capacity manager type role where they're now sourcing carriers and helping our full truckload in-house group cover freight. And so we're utilizing and capitalizing on all available resources and shifting if and when necessary. And within a matter of 3 days, these folks shifted responsibilities from supply chain account management to capacity management and finding and sourcing carriers and working with our carrier network. So it's been great to see everybody step up and make sure that they're willing and able to adapt and navigate through these uncertain circumstances.
Yeah, awesome, awesome comments. So as we take that and look directionally towards the future, realizing none of us have that crystal ball, and so a lot of this becomes day to day, but we have never been a reactionary team, and yet we've been forced into a circumstance where there's cause for immediate reaction, and yet we continue to plan for the future. So I'd love to hear from each of you thoughts on market, but also on COVID and life and all anything that you would offer by way of insight or encouragement or optimism or lessons learned. So kind of an open-ended question for you here. And I'll maybe jump in first before I pass the ball to each of you, give you a moment to consider. But boy, I mean this with great sincerity, what a special time, what a precious time for us to all be experiencing and living through. And I realize that a lot of people are going to hear that and say, what in the world is he talking about? Like, we're just going through total chaos. But I go back to, again, what is core to our culture and what makes each of us, I know, as individuals tick, at least as it relates to the four gentlemen here in this interaction. And that's, yeah, we just get up and want to be better. And betterment comes fastest and to the greatest degree in the heart of extreme situations. And we're living some extreme situations. We all feel that and know that. And we all have that, again, compounded by individual circumstance too. But what an amazing time to be living. I would argue, and I don't think anybody would challenge me in the statement that this is the most globally impacting event since World War II or the Great Depression. And we are right in the heart of it. And you're seeing four dudes with smiles on their face, grateful to be alive, and with genuine optimism and excitement about what the future holds. And I believe that. You know, I also believe that you look at the role that technology has played in all of our lives over the last 20 years, and we think that the pace has been feverish, and yet the development of technology has always grossly outpaced our ability to adopt and leverage it. And now all of a sudden we are being forced to adopt and leverage at a pace that we've never seen before. And it's working, right? It's working. I mean, here we're sitting here having this conversation on Microsoft Teams, and Microsoft Teams is a tool that we've been staged to embrace for the last couple of years and pushed it off in different ways. And boy, in the heat of 2 days time, flip a switch and it becomes our new norm. We don't have any live meetings anymore unless it's through Microsoft Teams or a like platform. And we all celebrate the tool because it's amazing and we've all adopted it and we've all become quick experts in how to use it. And that's just a small example of, I think, the opportunity that's presented each of us, not just by way of technology, but by way of the habits that we're creating And more importantly, this is critical in my mind, more importantly, the priorities that we're managing, right? The way that we get our lives in order and make sure everything is in check, and the things that mean something to us, that truly mean something to us, are the things that are getting priority right now. And I just hope, I've committed to myself, that there will not be any deterioration in myself in that way as we weather this storm and come out the backside of it, that these will be tremendous lessons learned, habits created, technology embraced, that will absolutely serve to make us better people, a better country, a more efficient, effective nation, but most importantly, a kinder people. At the core of all of it, a kinder people that more genuinely cares about those people around us. So, Jared, let's come over to you. What are your thoughts? Pretty open-ended, I realize, but what are your thoughts?
Yeah, pretty open-ended. And, you know, speaking to the business specifically, kind of no one has a crystal ball, right? So when we say, well, what does the future hold? What does short-term, long-term, et cetera, look like? I think it's somewhat tough to gauge. I think short-term right now, what we've seen in this bubble is, you know, this huge spike in demand reflected in volumes. How long does that persist? I guess it depends on how long this thing goes on for, right? You know, and I'm not the person to venture to guess that. You know, I think we've all heard varying degrees of severity. This is 2 weeks, 4 weeks, up to this is 4 months, 8 months. So, I mean, as long as the current scenario persists, I would assume that kind of the business side of things are probably pretty status quo. Volumes will continue to be strong. Rates will be high. Obviously, you're dealing with the client side of things. It's not a typical bid cycle, but you're going to see on the client side, obviously, people going back to the table and renegotiating is necessary right now, and some things that we've already done, which, you know, if there's clients watching this, again, it's all about relationship, and everyone is stepping up, doing the right thing. And I've experienced that firsthand. So, yeah, that's kind of the business element, you know, and that dovetails into some other things. You mentioned COVID. I don't know. I think right now everyone, and hopefully humanity, is doing everything they can to slow it, stop it, so we can get through it. But more importantly, as you mentioned, Jace, I've kept a couple different things. I'm looking at one right now, and I've done this on a personal level and a professional level, is, again, full circle, what a unique experience to go through. And you always wonder, what happens to the world when we do get out of it? Do we all just go back? Do we all just go back to our old ways, personally, professionally? But, you know, I've tried to be mindful and creative list of everything of saying, you know, and I even write to myself, Jared, this is what you have to remember being in this moment in time. Like, you got to remember this feeling, because I'm like anyone else. Next year, right? Look at your life a year ago. You would have never guessed, and you could have felt completely different about a lot of things. I don't want to get out of this thing a year removed and be like, oh, yeah, that was something. I remember that. Like, I want to hang on to the feelings and the thoughts that I have right now, because now more than ever, I think it's everyone's true essence, right? And then professionally, it's like, okay, what, you can't come out of this thing professionally and as a business and not learn a myriad of lessons, both positive, but it's also been good for gap identification. Hey, these are some gaps. These are things that we can do to prepare ourselves. These are the things that we need to shore up. So just creating a running list of everything when the dust does finally settle, saying, okay, here's everything that we learned. How can we get better? How can we get better today? So.
Awesome. Awesome comments.
Yeah, well said, Jaron. Just to piggyback off of that, I mean, we're living in unprecedented times. I don't think any of us have lived through the global pandemic quite like we're experiencing now. In fact, I know we haven't. Like Jason mentioned, probably the most significant world event since World War II. And even here locally, I mean, we have all been taught and went through earthquake drills all through elementary school on what to do in an earthquake. And living in Utah, you kind of always know that that's lingering in the background and you just need to be prepared for it. But these situations, like Jared said, have helped us identify some gaps, helped us create some contingency plans. Honestly, as I walk the floor and as I talk to some of the remote offices, as I talk to some of the folks that are working from home, I think this has just strengthened our team. It's helped people come together in ways that they wouldn't have otherwise come together. I think there's folks that are interacting with folks that they otherwise wouldn't have interacted with, just because there's that shared camaraderie of, hey, we were in this together. We made it through it. We're going to be stronger as a result. And, you know, like I said, being in Utah, you kind of always know the earthquake is lingering. And so the last few years, my wife and I have been building a food storage and emergency preparedness. We got 72-hour kits, and there is a tremendous peace of mind and a huge confidence in just knowing that you're prepared. And I think that this just bolsters our confidence in our preparedness to handle what's next, because you know that there's going to be something else that we're going to be faced with, whether it's globally, whether it's locally, whether it's just here in the U.S., whether it's economically or whether it's physical challenges. I mean, there's always going to be adversity and there's always going to be challenges, but it's up to our level of preparedness and our attitude and our mentality that will deem whether or not we successfully make it through.
Impossible to predict all the elements of the future, but as a couple of you have mentioned, we can certainly look to the past, right? As we look at world wars and depressions and recessions and, you know, medical health, economic turmoils, every major challenge that our country has gone through, we've come out of it because of some very core principles. And that's through hard work, is through unity, it's through passion and taking care of others. And I believe that if our country can come together in centered around some of those principles, the future remains extremely bright. And I'm optimistic that people are going through that process right now, and we're all getting better. We're all putting in that extra effort to do the right things that will make the future extremely bright.
Yeah, great comments. As anybody that is listening can tell, I'm surrounded by not just impressive talent, but just really good guys that I care deeply for. And I'm privileged to be able to work with and rub shoulders with on a daily basis. We hope that there's been something in here that's of value to anyone that is giving it a listen. We do believe in the future, and we're optimistic about the future, believe the future is bright. It doesn't mean it's not gonna be without its challenges, but we believe in hope, and we believe in positivity, and we believe in being part of the solution. And we invite you to do the same. We appreciate all the great examples that surround each of us. Life's going to be presented challenges, but we can tackle it, especially as we lean on one another. So we appreciate all that each of you do to be part of the solution, and we wish you all the best as we continue to fight for the future. So thanks for joining us today.